This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another English with Fraser podcast. As you can probably tell, it's been a long time since I recorded the last one. And actually, on inspection, the audio files were corrupt, so I'm going to have to delete those two previous episodes. So the episode before, you'll see, will not be about verbs, I believe I did it on. But we'll do that again in the future, so starting again. I think since the last episode, I have finished my law qualifications, which means I'm eligible to become a lawyer, a solicitor in the UK, as we say. So I finished that. I think that was Jan 2024 to October 2024. We're now in March 25, so it has been a few months, and I have been meaning to record more episodes, but you know how it is, life gets in the way. But I do admit I've been a bit lazy, so we're going to try and stop being lazy and put some better content and more content out for you guys listening to help improve your English and more specifically your British English. As I am aware, for those that don't maybe watch English TV shows or have English friends or partners or colleagues, that the British accent can be fairly troublesome to understand sometimes if you're used to the American accent. As such, these podcasts are the perfect way, the perfect vehicle for you to train and listen and improve your English, and not just English, but British English, as I am coming from England, not far outside of London, recording this episode. So how has everyone been? Hope you've been well. Good to be back. I'm using a new software to record the audio. Same mic, as I remember I did buy a mic before the previous last episode, so it's a tap tap. A good quality mic, I hope, and the audio should be a lot better than the first few episodes. I seem to remember I recorded those first episodes whilst on holiday. Now, actually, I did go on a solo travel at the time, and that was to Madeira, which is a lovely Portuguese-owned island off the west coast of Africa. So I went there by myself. I think it was sort of 5 nights, and it was almost like a retreat, not to find myself, but a retreat, a business retreat, because I went there to work on this idea I had with the English with Fraser and start the podcast and try and start this business, so to get the ball rolling. And I would recommend it to people, sort of. Obviously, it's better to go on holiday with friends and family, and I prefer that. But if you just go on like a solo trip, even if it's just for a couple of days, couple of nights, maybe bring some literature for you to read and sort of get your teeth into, maybe a good book, but also just to think about life. Think about what you want. Think about what your plans are. Think about what's the game plan. Also take the edge off, so relax. Maybe take a break from social media. Just relax and be with your own thoughts, because often we are not with our own thoughts. You've got work, you've got friends, you've got colleagues, you've got trips, you've got deadlines coming on. How often do you just go on a walk? No audio, no podcast. Obviously, listen to this podcast, so don't take all my advice as gospel. But it's good just to get away and just sort of just look inwards. sort of look inwards and see what your body tells you, what your soul tells you, what your mind's thinking. Because often you need that sort of quiet time to think. We're in a sort of society with so much noise, so much happening. Everyone's always on phones, everyone's always listening to music, podcasts. Well, actually, sometimes it's good just to cut out the noise. Have the silence to allow yourself to think, to let those thoughts sort of develop and mature and sort of follow them. And also on top of this, it's sort of bringing a diary. So actually writing it down with old-fashioned pad and paper. That's been proven. You remember things better when you write them down with a pen or a pencil. And I don't know if that's the connection between body and mind, having to write it down rather than typing it on your phone. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with using notes on your phone, but it's not quite the same as having a pen and paper. And they say the old-fashioned ways are the best, and they can be, even to this day. So yeah, what I did, I went to Madeira and I just got the ball rolling on this project. I think I recorded maybe 6 or 7 episodes and then tried to get the momentum going. Obviously that failed because I was focusing on my law studies, but now I've finished that, back to work again. So since then I've got a new job at a different firm, another law firm, similar to where I was before. This one is delightfully also located on the Thames. So lunchtime, I'm often going for a lovely sort of walk, a lovely stroll down the River Thames, sort of 45 minutes, hour, lunch break, go for a walk. It's recently turned sunny again, so enjoying the sunshine and everything's going well, but good to be back. It's been a long time coming, but if I can stick to the plan I have in my head, I'm going to be putting out sort of really consistently putting out episodes every week and just going from there. The boy himself, Gary V, you might have heard of him. He's an entrepreneur, New York native, and he puts out some good books. And I was reading one of his books about sort of setting up an online business and sort of making your passion your work. And he says you've got to grind 5 years, put the work in for 5 years. And once you've done that for 5 years, that's when people start noticing. And that's when you start reaping the rewards, reaping the benefits. So almost have to put that work in, 5 years work in the background, in the darkness, away from everyone. Just have it ticking away. So that's what I need to do. That's what I'm trying to do. And most importantly, put out some good content for you guys and girls listening to help you improve your English. Intrigued to know whether I'm speaking too quick, too slow. At points I'm trying to slow it down, but at the same time the whole point of these podcasts is to put out natural English, and natural of course means at a natural speed. So speaking how I would to my friends, to my family, to my friends down the pub, talking at sort of this pace and this level. Now, whereas before I had sort of a pre-made title in my head for the podcast, so I think we had the A to Z of British culture, and episode 1 would have been sort of A to H and so on. This time I thought what we're going to do is occasionally have a ramble style podcast. Now this word ramble, I'll put it in the worksheet that I'll upload with these podcasts. Ramble just means you sort of speak without, I might have used it before in a previous episode, but you sort of speak without a goal. You sort of speak without an end goal where you're going to go. You sort of talk and you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. Some would say you ramble. Like, oh, he keeps rambling. He wouldn't shut up. But rambling sort of just speaking without aim, speaking, keep talking, maybe random thoughts. Maybe thoughts that aren't even related. So starting about the weather and then changing to sort of what you had for breakfast, then changing to your favourite country in the Middle East. Do you see what I mean? That's a bit of a ramble. So we're going 1, 2, 3, just ping-ponging about back and forth, back and forth. So yeah, it's kind of decided. Obviously, I'll have episodes where I've got a title in mind and we'll talk about that title. And you know exactly what you're getting. But also going to do some rambling podcasts where I don't decide the title until I finish recording. So when you guys see it, you'll see the podcast and the episode will be called XYZ. So you know what it's about. But I don't know what it's going to be about until I finished it. And that way, just to keep it more natural, just to keep it more free flowing, not doesn't have to be a rigid one topic. I can just sort of talk to you almost like it's a radio show, and I sort of say anecdotes, what's happened to me, how my life's been recently, maybe also sort of what I've seen in the news, and just go from there. Because the whole point really is just to get authentic content to you guys, and it has to be on a whole host of topics. If you wanted to learn just about science, then you probably wouldn't choose my podcast. You'd probably go elsewhere and just listen to a solely science-based podcast, whereas I need to sort of provide a variety of topics, a variety of sort of different, sort of different flavours, if you'd like. It's like if you're just eating the same food all the time, you're going to get bored of that. Everyone jokes about the UK saying our food's incredibly bad. We don't really use seasoning. And I would agree with one to an extent. Although if you're eating the same thing over and over and over, you need to freshen it up. You need to change it up. You need to throw some spices in there, some paprika, some garlic. Or if you live in the UK 50 years ago, salt and pepper truly was a luxury. So my point is, going back to it, stopping my ramble to bring it back to what these podcasts are about, is I'm going to put out podcasts every week. I don't know how many of the ramble ones, but just ones where I just turn the mic on, sit down with you guys, start talking and see where it goes. And then after I've finished in the title, I'd say, all right, we talked about X, Y, Z. So that's what this episode's going to be. So for example, for this one, for today's one, I'm certainly going to have something about We Are Back, or Where I've Been, or Life Update. So obviously, I think you can see my rationale, you can see where I'm coming from, and hopefully that'll be made clear, and then future episodes, I don't even have to explain myself, it'll just be, oh yeah, that was one where he obviously hadn't decided before, but he just keeps going and talking, but I won't make it clear in the title, I won't say Ramble Podcast 1, it'll just be, you'll see the titles about X, Y, Z, it's a collection of those topics for that day's podcast. So recently been walking a lot, so I wanted to talk about my commute to work, because it obviously is a new job since I spoke to everyone, and sort of probe some questions about how your guys' commute to work is, whether it's tolerable or annoying or relaxing or long. So I have to get the train to work. I don't drive at the moment, so I can't take the car. So I have to get the train to work. Now, the train is relatively convenient. It's one train, so I don't have to change trains, which is useful, because it can be quite stressful when you have to change trains. Once you've done the journey a lot, it's kind of water off a duck's back, so to say. So it's doesn't really concern you. But the first time you do a train journey, if you have to change trains a couple of times, I wouldn't say it's stressful, but it sort of adds a little bit more, keeps you on edge. You kind of have to think, right, is this my stop? Whereas if you just got one train, then it's pretty simple. Just A to B, bish, bash, bosh. No problems there. So I got one train. The train's pretty quick, so it's only 10 minutes. It is a small train, though. It only has two carriages. Now, the carriages are fairly long, so it kind of looks like four, but essentially each carriage has two sort of compartments, and that makes up one carriage. So it looks like four separate components of the train, but actually it's two carriages. That's really easy. So I get on, and there's three stops. So I go all the way from A to B to the final stop. And once I arrive at the final stop, the train actually terminates there, which means there's actually only one platform at my station. So the train comes in and then it's sort of a dead end. The train can't go further, and the train terminates there, which means the train stops there and has to turn back. Now, actually, this train has one, there's only one line, so it can only go forward and back to my train station. So once it arrives into the train station, it can only go back. There's quite literally no other way to go. Maybe I'll take a photo and upload it to the website one day or something like that. So that part's pretty easy. And now once I arrive to my train station, from the train station to the office is, again, only a 15-minute walk. Fairly convenient. I have to start work at 9:30, so I think that's quite lucky. That's quite late. Most people start work at 9, or even 8:30 in my previous job. So 9:30 is pretty laid back. The trains run every 30 minutes. Now, when I say the trains run every 30 minutes, this means there's two trains an hour. So if you miss the train, you have to wait 30 minutes for the next one. I've actually never missed the train, and I'm obviously that's kind of the bare minimum, but I am proud about that because I've had some sticky situations to and from the station that I'll tell you about now. And actually, once I arrive to the station, there's sort of a couple of ways I can go. So I used to always go right and walk along the River Thames again. So if you look at a map of
it. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
England, look for River Thames. It goes through London. You could probably see roughly where I work. I won't tell you the exact location, but it's in and around the Berkshire area of the River Thames. So if you're curious, you can do a bit of digging and have a look. So, I'm from Reading, so around there, I'm sure you can find out roughly where I work. So I used to go right along the river, and then you go left down the main road. And because it was a 9:30 start and there's only two trains, I kind of have to take this one train. I don't really have much choice. So this train arrives into my station about 9:10. So that means I have 20 minutes to kill before I start work, or I could get there early, but sometimes I'm the first one there, so you have to unlock, turn the alarm off, etc. So what I used to do is, as I kind of get there at like 9:15, 9:20, still have like 5 minutes, kind of want to get there about 5 minutes early, and then kind of turn the computer on and start. If I was there too early, which I used to be, then I kind of go into Sainsbury's. Now, Sainsbury's is a British supermarket. It may or may not have been mentioned on this show before, and I'm sure we can do a supermarket episode now. That's a good idea. Let me note that down. And then once I arrived to Sainsbury's, it used to be every morning buy two bananas and then something from the Sainsbury's bakery, and I was cutting one banana up and putting it into cereal. Weetabix, another famous British cereal. So cut banana and Weetabix, milk in the morning, pretty good breakfast, pretty good start to the day. And then have the other banana later on. And then I'd also have from the bakery just some bread or like a bun or a roll, and then dip this into the soup. So bring some tin soup with me and have that with a roll. Pretty good lunch. However, then I've got sort of changed diets again recently, and now I am more sort of skipping breakfast, doing intermittent fasting, and then maybe have some lunch later at like 3 o'clock, and then eat again when I get home, or some days just completely don't eat during the day, and then when I get home immediately eat and then eat again dinner, and then maybe have something before sleep. But this one requires a bit of willpower, and it's a bit harder because you kind of have to fast every day from 9 p.m. when you sort of finish eating until the next day at sort of 6 p.m. So it's almost like a 20 hour fast, which is actually quite quite challenging, but I've noticed I've been doing that for 2 weeks and I think my sort of body and organism is getting used to that, because initially when I was doing that, I was really bloody hungry the first few days, and then after a while it kind of got easier. And another way to suppress the hunger would be to have a coffee. So you can drink coffee if it doesn't have milk, so that's black coffee if you're being strict about intermittent fasting. So in the morning, 9:30, 10, have a black coffee. Maybe again later have some more coffee or tea. I've got some nice Chinese herbal tea that I'm drinking. So have that in the afternoon, suppress the hunger. And then for lunch, go for a walk. And that again suppresses the hunger, because you're sort of walking, keeping the body moving, also not thinking about food too much. And I'm not near any shops when I'm on the river. So when you kind of pass shops or a restaurant, that's sort of even more temptation and makes you want to eat. But no problems. Been doing that. That's going quite well. So going back on topic, so stopping rambling again. Back on topic. So I arrived to the station and then it's a 15-minute walk. So overall, you've got 15-minute walk from the station to the office, train 10 minutes. Now get into my house, from my house to the train station. So the first train station before I go to the train station where my work is. Now this stage of the journey has been the most problematic, I have to admit. Now the first stage of the journey, this kind of makes it sound like it's the Tour de France when you've got the different stages and you can win the yellow jacket at a different stage. So the first stage of the journey is from my house to, let's call it train station number one. Train station number two being my work train station. Now from my house to train station number one is about 5 kilometres. Now I know this because I've cycled it many a time and checked on my phone sort of how far I've gone and also checked on the maps. Now this is sort of a cycle through the English countryside, so you go the back way out of the housing estate where all the houses are, and then you sort of cycle through the forest, you go past one pub, and then you reach a fork in the road, so you can go left or right. Now I have trials and tribulations with both ways, and I've tried both ways, and each way's got a story. Initially I was going right. Now when you go right, you go behind the pub and then you go across a horse field. Now it's a horse field, as you can imagine, because there's sort of 5 horses on it, and there's a stable close by. So the stable where they sort of keep the horses, look after them. I know they do equestrian, I think it is, which is like horse shows where the horses kind of ride around, do small jumps and sort of show off. If you type in equestrian horses, you'll know what I mean. Sort of like a horse, where they like judge the horses on how elegant they are, that sort of thing. Now, anyway, there's a stable just next to it, so they keep some wild horses in here. So of course it means there's loads of horse manure and horse poo on the floor, which isn't actually too much of a problem. So you cycle through there across the field, and then you get to the other side of the field, and then you have to lift the bike over the fence. Now I've had a problem a couple of times where I've accidentally nearly fallen over, because you have to pick the bike off the floor, stand on one step, hop over the fence, stand on the step on the other side, drop the bike down, boom, pump it down, and then get on the bike again and cycle off. So we'll call this the right way. So I've been going the right way. When I first started, that was the way I was going for like the first month or so. And then after you get over the fence, you keep going, you cycle, and then you reach the main road. So now this is like a main road where cars are going quite quick, sort of 40 miles an hour, which doesn't sound quick, but when you're on a bike and a cars going past you at 40 miles an hour, it is fairly quick. So once you reach there, then you have to make sure your fitness is ready to go, because you have to keep going quicker, otherwise the cars are going to be annoyed if you're going too slow. So you get there and then you cycle along this really long main road that slightly inclines higher the further you go. So by the time you get to the train station, so tired. Get to the train station, get off the bike, and then there's bike locks or in front of the station, so you can park it there. But that's not as safe because the other ones are actually in the station, so on the platform. So we have bike sort of locks on the platform. Now, I usually park it there because, in my opinion, it's more safe. Because if the bike's on the platform all day, there's going to be people working at the station. There's going to be other travellers and customers who can sort of stand on the platform. So your bike's less likely to get stolen. So I usually park it there. Now, in the UK, we also say nicked. If somebody's nicked something, it's mean they've stolen it. So your bike's less likely to get nicked if it's on the platform. So that's where I usually park it. And then I had a problem where, so I've had just a whole host of different problems. I had one problem where I accidentally lost the light for the bike because I started in winter. It's so dark, so I need a bike light at the back, like a red one, a reversing one, so cars behind me can see me. And then more importantly, I need a bike light at the front because that illuminates the road in front of me. And especially at like 6 o'clock at night, once I've finished work, it's so dark that having a light is really pertinent to getting home. So one time I lost it. So I had a flat tire. I put the bike down, was trying to change the bike tire. Didn't work. And then I lost the light. So then I had to buy another light. But it turns out I actually had the light I lost in my jeans pocket. So like 4 weeks later, I found it and was like, oh, I didn't really need to buy another light. And then we had really bad rains at one point, and it was just raining for ages, felt like 2 weeks. And essentially meant that the fields got flooded. So the horse field I was mentioning earlier was completely subdued in water. It looked like a lake. So we couldn't go that way. So that meant, okay, we're going to have to go the other way. So then I was cycling another way, which obviously this way was right. Now I'm going left. But this way is really fast. This way is like 6 kilometers. So that takes even further. So I thought I'm going to go that way. So I've been cycling around that way for a while. And actually, the first time I got caught in the water, so I was coming back from work. It had been raining during the day. Now, as you know, water slowly rises. So I went over the horse field on the way to work and it wasn't flooded. So I thought, okay, that's okay. Quite lucky. We'll keep going this way. And then on the way back, I was going down the main road and about to go over the horse field and it was pitch dark. And then I could just see like the moon reflection on the water. Now the water was on the road and obviously it was flooded. So I could see the moon reflecting. I was like, that's a bit weird. And I thought, right, we're gonna try and push on anyway and go this way. Because if I go the other way, I'm going to have to turn around. It's going to take like another 15 minutes to cycle. Didn't want to do that. So I started going this way. And then I thought, okay, let's cycle into the water. Hopefully it's not too high. Kept going. And the water kept getting higher and higher. And then the water went up to like above my knees. And as I was cycling the bike through the water, it was going into my shoes. And eventually I had to get off the bike and just walk through the water. And the water was honestly like up to my thighs. It was awful. But then at that stage, it was kind of like, I've already gone this far. So I just walked through the water and then got over the horse field and then cycled home from the other part and eventually got home. And I was just soaked in water, got to the doorstep and just took the shoes off and poured them on the floor. And it was like pouring out of two water bottles, just water everywhere. Absolutely awful. And then in the space of 2 months, I think I've had maybe 6 flat tires. So the front tire's gone, I think the front tire's gone 3 times and the back tire's gone 3 times, and each time it's like some small pathetic twig or bramble that's been stuck in the wheel. And obviously I've had to replace the inner tubing. I'm not really that good at the DIY sort of aspect and fixing bikes, so thankfully my uncle is very handy with that. He's good at that, so he's come over and fixed it a few times. And actually, as I speak right now, the bike's also got a flat tire, so I do need to fix that again. Not fun. So what I've been doing is walking in the morning. So the walk is like a 50 minute walk, so my commute is 50 minute walk, 10-minute train journey, another 15-minute walk. So the sort of the conclusion of the story is at the minute my commute to work is beautiful because I'm going on a lovely morning's walk, nice weather, listening to like a history podcast, but it's very tiring. And these past couple of weeks I've been particularly tired due to this, but can't complain really. Overall it's sort of an hour and 15 minutes commute, so I'd be intrigued to see what other people's commutes are, because I know some people that sort of commute into London and that's easily an hour and a half. But this is why it's nice to have some work from home. I'm looking forward to having work from home, because as you can see, if I have work from home, that's immediately 2 hours of your day just saved immediately, and that you can keep and you don't have to sort of sacrifice. For example, if I start work at 9:30 and work from home, then I can obviously wake up at 9 o'clock, just wake up, brush my teeth or make a coffee, and I'm immediately ready to go. So extra sleep. And alternatively, once you finish work, you're also more inclined to work more because you feel, oh, I don't have to commute home, so I might as well just finish this work now. So actually, I think it benefits both employer and employee. So when you finish at 5:30, you kind of turn the laptop, shut the laptop down, turn it off, finish your work, and then bang, it's like 6 o'clock and you're ready to chill, watch TV, study, go for a run, whatever you do, you're sort of ready to rumble. So that will be it for this episode. I think we kind of end up speaking about my commute to work and cycling and that stuff, but I hope it's been interesting and also useful. So if you like it, please do like, share, give it a 5-star wherever you're listening, comment. If you've got any suggestions or any sort of questions, feel free to put them down in the comment section or send me an email. My email is englishwithfraser@gmail.com. Coming up to the 30-minute point now, which is always a good goal, good target of mine, so just hit that now. So thanks for listening and hope everyone has a nice day and take care. Bye-bye.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.